for the night, for the night, for the night cometh when no man can work. And that's what we'll title this. The Approaching Night. First, let me start off by saying I've always introduced it as PSMCOR, and I don't know how many people got it. Prodigal Son's Ministry, Changing Our Reality. Sometimes when you walk into the light, your eyes, they dilate. Your pupils, I mean, they dilate. They adjust to the light that's now in your world. The light that is before you. So the changing of our reality is recognizing when things change. And light, because it's not visible until it touches something solid, we have to then say that the changing is something that happens on the inside that cannot be seen, but it affects what comes out. I'll give you a little example. It says it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but what comes out of him. So the light that goes into you, it can do one of two things. It can change you and deliver you from the darkness, or the light itself will ricochet and go somewhere else if it's not allowed entry. Another example. Stand at your heart door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open up, I'll come into him. You have to hear him first. You have to open your own door. You have to decide it on yourself. There are no mechanisms or keys or anything else. You know how to open your heart, for you know what it is that causes that resistance. And then there was somewhere where it told us what caused the resistance of the light. It said that men prefer darkness because their deeds were evil. See, your deeds were evil is a representation of a state of which you're in, that what's coming out, it's coming from a place of darkness because it's evil. So you continue on in that place of darkness. But once light shows up, things change. For now, you see what you're fighting against. You see what it is that you're dealing with. You see what's causing the challenges. You see in your life your obstacles a little clearer than you did before in the darkness. PSMCOR, changing our reality. And today, I want to give you a tool to put in your tool belt, a weapon to put within your gun belt, or should I say your belt, your spiritual satchel, something to put in there. And I think this should be at the, you know how sometimes a satchel is soft or a bag is soft and you need something in the bottom that's strong because you're going to put things in there. And once you put it in the bottom, it gives that support. You need a foundation. So that's what I'm going to give you right now, a foundation to put in your satchel, that everything else that comes in there would have to be built upon this. Give you another scripture as we continue on. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said of him, it said he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. So your foundation that we're trying to put in your satchel or in your belt or in your tool pouch or wherever you're putting it, this foundation is going to predate the world. The area that gave you, the thing that you've learned and grown accustomed to, survival in the world. The reason in which your deeds are evil because you're in this world. So you abide by and you live by and you allow those things to take charge. So now we're going to give you a foundation that precedes that, that if you build upon this foundation, that those things can be more clearly understood. Okay? So to start to apply this support and this foundation is something that's required. It's required of each and every one of us. It's required of everyone. No one is exempt. No one. For another place, we're told. And matter of fact, forget told. Forget sitting down as someone's lecturing you or pointing you or telling you what to do. You make the decisions on your own. Direction was given. in the day of your visitation, don't harden your heart. If you did or you do, you may miss out. So it's not really a convincing or anything else. It's just to let you know I'm offering another tool. But this one will definitely support everything on top of it. Another example. We talk of seed that was sown, and the seed that was sown is in life is sown upon certain grounds. And when I take seed, let's translate that into modern day terms so we don't have to go into the NIV and all these ESV and all these different translations. A seed is something that within itself, within the shell, has the life of what it was that it came out of. And that had nothing to do with man or anything else, for God said in the beginning that the reproductive properties of these things would be within themselves already, and God placed them there. But when you throw that seed, as you deal with things, seed is strewn throughout your life upon different types of ground. In the natural, say a seed could represent a business you started. A seed could represent a family that you started. A seed could represent so many things, because as you see it, it's life in it, and that seed brought it forth, and it started with the smallest action. So that seed will take another place. Seeds are very powerful, because it was told of a seed that was all you needed to move mountains. For if you have faith as is a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you know it'll take place. But that seed that was sown as the word of God, who you didn't sow in the same sense, it was sown in your life. It was sown in others' life. It was sown into the world. Where did it fall? Did it fall upon a place that had some good foundation that would offer it the nutrients and minerals and the things in life that it need to be birthed out of where it's coming from? Because it's a seed. The seed is not on top. The seed is inside. And it needs strength to come through. So are we allowing the things in life? Do we have those things that seed has fallen upon our hearts, and we received it, and we see it, and we love it, and we know that we need it, and everything inside of us is saying this is the right thing to do? But then shortly, a storm or trial or death or a loss of a job or argument or something comes up, and the joy and the strength and all the optimism that you had inside of that seed at the first time, it's now you can't reach it. It's like, I'm going to set you over there for a little while and come back to you. Recognize that your seed now is growing, but some of the things in life, not taking anything from them, are beginning to strain what it is that seed had a purpose to become. Cares of this life. Another place is maybe when you received it, it was good because you found yourself in a bad place or a bad situation and you needed help. And in that help, you got it. Things fell in your favor and everything started to go the right way. And you got comfortable. And in scripture, it calls a place of Lodebar. Even if you were comfortable, that your comfort and your times in comfort, somewhere in there, you forgot God. So God left. And now when the storm came, you just quit, because it was all about that immediate need and the long term was not looked into. So the seed itself couldn't find anywhere to grasp. And then there's another one. You know, sometimes the seed is sown and, you know, it just floats inside of the heart that it was in, and everything just goes and goes, and everything just flows over time. It grows, it has its seasons, and it goes through its changes, but over time it burns out. Can't go with the long haul. Wasn't made for the long haul, because it felt upon mushy ground and sandy ground that over time the erosion of life washes it away. But back to the one that fell upon good ground. Did you nurture it in your life? Because you cared about it. Did you recognize what it is that you had received? If any of this is applicable, if any of this applies to you, the way to get it back is that foundation, that tool that I'm telling you about. Even if you feel as though everything is good, remember, revival, to bring something back, you have to go back to the source of life. To revive means to bring back. It's bringing something back. It's bringing something back to life, something encouraged, whatever it is bringing back. So you have to go back to the source. Revival only comes through repentance. Repent ye therefore. Turn around. Change your mind. Allow that seed that fell in your life to occupy your thinking in your storm. And the seed will breathe life in the dark places. Allow that seed to have its way. For it is in your repentance that that seed goes through the germination process of conversion from a seed into what it is that God purposed it. Repent, turn around. Ye therefore, your seed's not growing because you won't turn around. Repent ye therefore and allow the conversion process. And if you look what a conversion process is in any culture, in any nationality, in any ethnicity, conversion is the breaking down into all of its applicable parts that make it up. You convert it into something. Repent ye therefore and allow, as you turn around and as your mind is changed and you begin to see the things in life that were obstacles and the things that, you know, it may be some things that you did, some decisions that you've made, whatever it is, but you see it now because you're looking at it in the light. You turned around, you allowed your mind to be changed and be converted. I'm going to go through this. Why? A refreshing's coming. That your things that you turned around and saw, your sins, your errors, your incompleteness, your missing of the mark throughout life because you turned around at the obedience of God. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Allow that painful or whatever process it is you must go through to get back to the source. Then this is all spiritual, people. This is a you mission. It's not a we mission. It's a you mission. And as you go on your you mission, you will recognize that we are all on that you mission. And as we're all on that you mission, we encourage one another along the way. For how can two walk together lest they agree? What was the agreement? That we needed to repent, that we needed to turn around. Why? Because the times of refreshing, that revival you were looking for, that latter rain, which we spoke about and preached about for years, is upon us. It's not a timed occasion. It's a God occasion. When the times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord, when God breathes that refreshing, as he did on the day of Pentecost. And it was when you least expect it, because suddenly there comes a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. And it didn't, before it fills you, it fills the house. And surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In turning around, you invite God into the equation. As you go forward in your own ambition, in your own inspiration, in your own motivation that you've established for your own gain, you'll see that there is no God around there because you're in your own. Now, you may be blessed, you may have money, you may have followers, whatever, scripturally sound thinking, scripturally sound speaking, scripturally sound preaching knows the difference. My final example on this message. There was a day when the preacher of Pentecost was in his own plight, his own arrogance, his own point of chastisement. And remember, who the Lord chastises, whom the Lord loves, he chastises. In his point of chastisement, something is spoken into his life. He said, "Peter, Satan desires to have you." Didn't say kill you. Didn't say get rid of you. He wants you. Why? Throughout your life, you've shown what's inside of you. He's dwelled in the presence of the Lord as well. He's invited into the chambers of God. The book of Job said there was a happening in heaven. You read it for yourself. And Satan came also. He was there. He came. He had access into it, to where God was. So in that mindset, he says, Satan desires to have you, to sift you as wheat. Now, over time, I know there's been different explanations of this passage, but taking another look, changing our reality, taking another look to duplicate you like wheat, to scatter you all over like wheat, to utilize what you bring to the table all over. Satan wants you, Peter. And there's going to be a struggle there. There's a conversion process. And as we just explained in conversion. But Peter, I want you to know something. I've prayed for you that when you're converted, you're going to go through, Peter. There's a lot you're going to go through. Whatever it is, history, you and everybody else know. Even so much as there's a markup or a cameo of you at one point where Paul addresses you about, you know, your dealings with the Gentiles and the Jews. And if you want to look into that, go read it. But I want to say that he said that when you're converted, you strengthen your brethren. Conversion is not a separate work of grace. Conversion is a work of applying the trust and the hope you have in God to the storms in your life. Conversion is allowing what's really inside of you to come out. Sometimes the breaking down in the conversion process, sometimes it only brings forth, you know, and let me tell you what I'm talking about just so I can get to that part. Sometimes when you break down, you know, oils or chemicals or particles or whatever there are, a breakdown. Sometimes the breakdown goes through a very strenuous and painful process. And at the end of it, you receive or your reward is something so simple and so small that everything that was around it was just fluff and waste. The same thing in life. Through your conversion process, it peels and tears back the years and years of callousness that have developed in our life, in our lives. And when I drop this one, I wanted to put beauty in your scars too first, but I want you to go reflect on beauty in your scars or beauty for ashes, because it's a point in there that's going to lead you somewhere. But through our conversion process, the callousness of our lives and the pains that we received and the storms and wars that we've been through, and I'm talking about spiritual wars and battles, and they're your wars. You know, for all the highly educated and people out there, we can talk on another level, but for, you know, anybody who wants to, you know, use wording or whatever, delivery. But I wanted to say it like this. The callousness in our lives are from us partially or allowing the natural healing of our scars to take place. So sometimes when someone comes with a message of hope, they have multiple layers of callus that they have to get through. The word that they speak has to get through there. And in order for you to be converted, you have to allow that word, which is the light, to lead you through into true healing. Because the spirit that is inside or hidden deep within inside of the pain, the callousness that they've developed over life to protect themselves against harm, hurt, and pain, that conversion process will allow your spirit to explain the story versus you explaining it through your flesh. Something like this. When you explain, and I have scars on my body, and maybe some of us do. Some of us may have had stitches or cuts that were never stitched up or things like that. And you have, you know, some areas that have places that have grown up, or you have worked hard with your hands and to take away the pain or the soreness of touching so close to your gentle anatomy, calluses build up. But the calluses were not always needed or always so. They just a reflection of pain. And as we tell that story, we can say, man, I worked hard, man, that's how I got these calluses. Work negative. Man, I've been going through, man. Man, I fell off that building. I got cut with that knife. You tell how you got the pain. But as those calluses from the inside start to peel back and that word and that light begins to get in, then the spirit from the inside starts to testify. The flesh tells about what happened to me. The spirit tells about what happened in me. Complaining tells about the circumstances. Testimony tells about the God that brought you through the circumstances. Pre-conversion is self-righteousness, pharisaical or cetical or whatever that word is. You walk around with your head in the clouds. That's pre-conversion. You see you look around and everything's there. That conversion process begins to strip things back. You have somebody that comes to church and you say, you'll see them and they're rejoicing. And you say, man, I'm glad they're here. They needed this. That's just the beginning. For whatever reason you saw that they needed to be there, you need to pray for them. Because whatever it was that brought them there, it's going to be their struggle in their conversion process. Be converted. That your sins, yours, you'll be able to tell the difference. You'll be able to know what it was that you applied to it or you're responsible for versus the context of the arena or world you were in. That it rains on the just and the unjust. So some things just happen. But there are some things that you contributed to that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Peter, I've prayed for you. That when you're converted, and after you're converted, after your conversion, brothers and sisters, anyone, whoever you are out there, then you strengthen your brethren. It comes from a different place. It doesn't come from that place pre-conversion, high in the clouds, and all the answers, and everything is just okay by calling out, or, you know, just ignoring, or just thinking positive. It comes after that. Because from a place of post-conversion, you see things differently. Your responses, your prayers, your heart, your compassion, everything is included. Post-conversion, your delivery, your understanding. Repent ye therefore and be converted. John came preaching repentance. Jesus went preaching repentance. As the keys were opened on the day of Pentecost, repent. What do you think the message today is? Repent. They've been talking of all these books and all these how-tos, finances, children, everything. They'll tell you everything. They'll give you everything that you think you need. But even after you apply and utilize everything they throw at you, you still feel unfulfilled. In some cases, still empty. In some other cases, even more frustrated now, considering giving up, because you've applied everything they threw at you, when all it was that you needed to repent, turn around, face your storm. Moses, why are you crying? Moses, stand still. Face the Red Sea. And as you face it, you will see the salvation of the Lord. Don't allow your testimony to be hijacked. If your preacher, your pastor, your minister, whoever it is out there, is trying to change you and not allowing you to take the tools that God has given everyone to change, to be converted. If they're not given that, I would say and encourage you, seek the Lord with all your heart and allow God to lead you. You may have a word for them. He may lead you away. It may be something else, but I want you to seek God. Because if it's not fulfilling and you haven't gotten enough and it's something that you know you need to change, don't go tell nobody else your business. Don't go tell anybody else what you think you need. Go take it to God. Greg, I've done that for years. Let me tell you, go in your door. When your door's closed, pray, Our Father. See God as He is. Don't see God as the mad tyrant behind the booth. Don't see Him as the world had painted the wizard in the Wizard of Oz. Or don't see God as they've described Him. But see God as He said, let us go see what they're doing. See Him as, shall I hide this from my friend Abraham? See Him as Moses. You asked to see me, but you can't look upon me and live, but I'll give you some. I'll let you see my hinder parts. See Him as I'm standing at the heart door and knock. See Him as loving the world. See Him as my Redeemer liveth. See Him as the Prince of Peace. See Him as the everlasting Father. Stop seeing Him as this tyrant, Our Father. And your understanding of your Father can only be clear as you see Him as He is, which are in heaven. The only way to see Him as He is to allow this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Why? Because no one has ascended into heaven anytime save He that came down from heaven, which is in heaven, which is the Son of Man. So you have to let that mind, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And once that Father position of that Father that God has established in your life, the way you see Him, once you grab it, it will be placed in a hallowed place. You're not going to move it around. Hallowed, meaning I put it there and I left it there. Hallowed be Your name here in my heart. Hallowed be Thy name. And because I've hallowed Your name and I'm living according to Your will, let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Utilize me as a vessel to display, expose, to share Your will with the world. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, I'm not going to look 2 and 3 weeks down the line. I'm not going to look at retirement. I'm not going to look at the dates that this world has set into play, but give them all of us. Don't just give it to me. Give us this day our daily bread. And don't just forgive me, God, but forgive us our debts. And in your forgiving of our debts, give us the eyes to see and a heart after you. Because as you forgive us our debts, we know it's only in measure as we forgive our debtors. Give us a compassionate heart toward the people who have done us wrong or people that owe us. Because we can tighten it up. We understand in Scripture it tells us that the borrower is a servant to the lender. We can manipulate people because they owe us, but give us a heart of forgiveness. And lead us not. We don't need to be convinced. I don't want to put any charge in my life to challenge you or tempt you, God. So lead us not into temptation. I don't want to go through. My heart is yours. And as David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. I don't want to go through temptation. So lead us not into temptation, because we're following you. We don't want to be tempted. But the things in this world that grab at us, please deliver us from evil. And we realize that evil works in darkness, and evil works in so many different ways and takes on so many different forms that when it grabs us, we just pray that you deliver us. Because all in all, thine is the kingdom. All the glory is yours. For thine is the kingdom. All power is yours. For thine is the kingdom. Power is yours.